all hooked up here. And I tell you what, what about you guys? I enjoy the tag team preaching, and I thank the Lord for it. And it's amazing how God just puts it all together. And one sermon, two preachers, amen. But nonetheless, God takes His word and makes it work, amen. So you pray for us, amen.
All right.
Okay. We're not going to turn on this song until after you. After he prays, amen.
So I'll get my first 2 points out now. And
then pray we'll have a turn of war.
If I just hold it over here, he can't get to it. No, I'm just kidding. Take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 2. This is better. Can you hear me now? Hebrews chapter 2, the first four verses. If you want to stand for the reading of God's Word. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to His own weight, His own will. Sorry. Well, with God being my help, and with Pastor, I'm going to preach on the subject. Are you drifting?
Amen.
Are you drifting? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day.
Yeah,
Father,
help,
thank you for the for the message you provided. Father, thank you for your word. I thank you for your patience with us. And I thank you for the love and the kindness that you give to us. Father, help us to preach this message. Give somebody something they need, Father. Let me speak to each heart. Let you speak through me to their hearts, Father.
Yes.
And give somebody they can go home with. Father, we thank you for all you've done for us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Hallelujah.
Two young men were fishing on a lake, and they were just drifting. They're fishing. And they come upon a waterfall, and they heard it from the distance when they got getting louder and louder. By the time they realized where they were, they couldn't paddle back. So what happened was they went over, and they died. They found one body that day and the next one a couple of days later. Now, when they were drifting, they had no clue what was going on.
Yeah.
They were fishing. They were having a good time, talking, joking, enjoying the fishing, and it ended. Their attention wasn't on the important thing of where they were. It was on the thing that was right in front of them.
Yeah.
So they went over and they died. Another story, and this one kind of personal. My wife's sister and her aunt were in the ocean at a beach in Florida, and they were on a raft, and they were just enjoying the sun and relaxing, and they kind of enjoyed the sun a lot, and they drifted. They drifted so far out, they couldn't barely see land anymore. Now, I was telling Pastor the story in the office a little bit ago. I thought they got rescued. But what happened was a boat came along, and they were both too afraid to get in it. So they told them, never mind. And they paddled their way back in. Now, this one ended in good. They got back to land, but I'm sure they were exhausted and sunburnt and everything else. So they didn't take the help that God sent them, but they, well, I can do it. Sometimes when we think we can do it, we're still slipping. We're not going to get that thing. So things we should know about drifting. Drifting requires no effort. When we stop rowing the boat against the wind or paddling against the current, you'll just begin to drift. Same is true for the Christian, which is why we're told in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, we must give a more earnest heed. It's also an unconscious process. It's possible to drift unaware. They were not aware on that raft that they were drifting. Those two guys in a boat, they were not aware. They just fell asleep. Us as Christians, are we falling asleep?
Amen.
Are we just falling asleep and just, wake up and go, yeah, we're all right, and we're getting closer and closer to danger? In a boat, undercurrents are often unnoticeable from the surface. When you're in a boat drifting, you're looking down, you don't see the current. When you look at a beach, what's the water doing? It's coming in.
Right.
So you think, well, if I'm out there, it's going to bring me in. But you find out, anybody that's been out in the lake, even Lake Michigan, you go out. The current takes you out, or rip currents, which will take you underneath and take you out. They're dangerous currents. We as Christians got to watch those undercurrents of Satan trying to pull us under and trying to drown us.
Amen.
In a plane, the wind or gravitational forces move the plane without you realizing it. And if you have flown if you ever hit turbulence, it can be unnerving. And turbulence is an absence of air. You're flying through, you're cruising on the air, and the wind is no wind. And the plane falls. And when it hits the wind, it feels the jar. So there's no, and the plane's drifting, and the pilot has no control of it. It's just going to fall until it hits the wind. So that, you know, even the plane, you can't tell. If you're flying along, you think you're cruising right along, I'm flying good, and all of a sudden you drop, and you know what happened. The same is true in the spiritual realm. Many Christians and churches slowly drift away, only one day to find themselves removed from the scriptures. Now think about it. Becoming a drug addict doesn't start all at once. You start something small. Hey, take a hit. You know, taste this. And then you get more, and you get more, and you get more. Hey, I'll even go something personal. I didn't do drugs, but getting fat, it doesn't start with, you know, a gigantic meal at once. You start eating a little bit more and a little bit more. And, hey, I've got a job. I make money. I can get McDonald's every day I want. And then you end up almost 400 pounds. So it doesn't start with a little bit and turns into a lot. So we never drift upstream or against the tide. You never, ever in a river, if you stop the motor, you stop oaring, you don't ever go back upstream. You go downstream. So when you, as a Christian, you stop reading your Bible, you stop praying, you stop going to church, you stop going to events, you start going downstream. As you go downstream, the current gets faster and faster and faster. Faithfulness to the Lord is like rowing upstream. You must constantly be adding to your faith in 2 Peter 1:5. And we must continue to grow. The moment you stop growing, you start growing backwards or going backwards or downwards. And that's in 2 Peter 3:18. Now, it's dangerous to others. A ship just drifting is a hazard to all other vessels. Parents who are just drifting will soon lose golden opportunities to teach their children. Well, I won't correct them now. I'll correct them later. And then you don't correct them later. And that same problem becomes a major problem. And then you can't fix it. You wait too long. Many Christians are tossed back and forth and carried about by every wind of doctrine. We know people like that. Not us, not me, but people like, hey, we're going to do this for God. All right, well, that's wrong. You shouldn't do that. Oh, yeah, I'll be over here with you. I'll do that. You're right. No, no, we're going to do this way. Oh, no, I'm going to be over here. It's just, you know what? Lord, the Bible say, hold fast to what truth says.
Don't let them slip. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't let that slip. Amen.
The first one we see is that one of the signs of drifting is this. It's a diminishing desire to study God's word and pray. A diminishing desire to study God's word and pray. When we lose our desire to study God's word, we are drifting. When you and I first got saved, man, we were talking from the Bible. We couldn't wait to grab a hold of the Bible. Man, we were reading this. We were asking questions. I mean, what should I read right now? I mean, what should I study right now? We're involved with all those things. And all of a sudden, we find ourselves drifting when we notice this. I don't have a desire like I used to. Oh, man, I used to crave the Bible. But what's happened now? I don't crave it like I used to. I don't pray like I used to. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17 that we are to pray without ceasing. Now, the second thing is a diminishing desire, oh, my soul, to be with God's people. At one time, man, you couldn't wait to get to church. Yeah. But now it's like, what, have we had some again? You know, I mean, what we got going on now, you know? Oh, we got this meet, we got this gathering, we got this gathering. But at one time, he's like, it blew my mind. I don't forget. The folks just say, you know what, I could be in church every day. I'm not here. He just got saved, didn't he? You know? Because I'm going to tell you what, after a while, I mean, time goes by, I mean, you're like, man, I mean, I know. You don't want to say out loud, you know, but you know, inside, you're like, oh, we got to come back to night service? Nobody, I'll be up there. No night service tonight, y'all. I'm like, man, I ain't going to give it away. I ain't going to, I ain't going to say one word, amen. But not only that, not only is there a diminishing desire to study God's word and pray, a diminishing desire to be with God's people, but then thirdly, a diminishing desire to share the gospel. When you and I first got saved, man, we couldn't wait to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. We wanted to tell them how we got saved. Or, if you're already saved, but you got right with God, Man, you couldn't wait to tell people what's happened. Oh, man, we got this going on, we got this going on. And then they say, you know what, I wish I had that in my life. And he said, you do the proper opportunity. I might as well go to work. Man, I might as well go to work. Man, it was like a mission field. Man, I just be waiting. Man, I might be tuned in. Somebody said, man, you know, life is just, this is all jacked up. I'm like, hey, oh. I said, is it? I said, yes, man. And for you, I said, no, I'm doing great, man. Well, why are you doing great? I said, man, I tell you what, man, I went to church this weekend, and man, the preacher was preaching on this, and man, we had fellowship, and they said, I wish I was like that. I said, you can. It's available for everybody. You know, all you got to do, number one, is, have you ever trusted Christ as your Savior? They said, well, I've gone to church before. I said, well, have you ever just realized that you are a sinner in need of a Savior? She said, you know what? I think I've never done that before. I said, you know what? Let me show you what the Bible says right here. I'm going to tell you what, my friends. When you and I, though, begin to have a diminishing desire to share the gospel, we know we're drifting because now it's like this. So I said, man, I wish I'd get my life together. I'm in a hurry right now. I'm trying to get to where I'm trying to get to. Almost like we come to church. I went one Easter. We had one eight over at where that place is. They closed down now. But anyhow, I remember we riding down the road, and man, I seen this guy, this girl, maybe into it. He hit her, and I'm like, what the devil's going on right here? And we was trying to get to church for Sunday school. And I'm like, we're trying to get to church for Sunday school. But here she is. She's flagging, trying to flag people down right on Colfax. Nobody's stopping. You know, she's trying to flag people down. And I'm like, man, was you with me? One of the ladies was with me. Prashandra's with me, amen? And you know, she couldn't hardly see. I could just go on by. She wouldn't know how to let me know. But one of the ladies, I see her flagging me down. So finally, I stopped the car. And then she came over here. And then she told me what was going on. And she was bleeding. And here comes the guy towards the car. I told her, get in the car, you know. She hops in the car. And we take off down the road. You know, and I had to call the police, you know. And then we waited for 3 days for them to get there. And, but you know what? At first, I'm like, man, it's sunset. I don't really want to stop with this. And so I'm like, wait a minute. Here's somebody that said,
yeah.
But I'm going to tell you what. Man, if I had been drifting, I'd been like, I'm going to keep on going. And many times we've done that. We've had a nudge from the Holy Spirit to share with somebody the gospel. But because we're so busy and we don't have a desire like we used to, then we pass that by. Not only that, there's also an increasing thrill over things of the world. Pleasures. Look what the Bible says let's jump down to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 4. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and verse number 4. Y'all gotta run. Hurry up. My son running out. Who says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 4? The Bible says this in verse number 4. He says, talk about the end times, perilous times. They shall become traitors, petty, high-minded, watch this, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God. You know what? When you and I start drifting, one of the signs is we got more love for pleasure than we do have for God.
Remedies against drifting. Now, some of you guys are thinking drifting. No, it's not like, you know, Tokyo Drift. You're going to slide around the street and look cool. No, drifting away from God. One of the remedies is keep rowing. Spiritually speaking, this involves diligence. 2 Peter 1, verse 10 says, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fail. Diligence. Keep at it. Don't quit. One of my favorite movies is I just went blank. Facing the Giants. Thank you. And he had Brock on the football field. He said he couldn't do something. He wanted him to crawl, you know, 10 yards. Just crawl 10 yards with a guy on his back. Bear crawl, hands, I can't do it because I'll probably fall. Hands and feet, no knees, and you have to crawl that this with that guy on your back. And he did it blindfold, so wouldn't know where he's at. He had to trust the guy. And he kept yelling, don't quit. You give me your very best, your very best, your very best. Don't quit. And he's like, I can't. I'm burning. He's like, don't quit, Brock. Don't quit. Keep going. And by the time it was over, he said, Brock, take off your mask. He said, what? He goes, you're in the other end zone. He bear crawled 100 yards. Diligence. He just kept going. Even when it burned, even when it hurt, he didn't quit. It also means to keep abounding in your Christian graces. And then there's no place for retirement in the living of a life of a Christian. You know, you're a Christian until the day you die. You can always share the gospel. If you can't walk, you can always talk. You can always write a letter. You can always do something for God. Watch out for the undercurrents. Another remedy is watch out for the undercurrents. We must always be on guard for undercurrent of temptation. If any of you guys have ever been in water where you've gotten taken out by a wave, you know, it's a shocking thing, especially when you're not expecting it. Big wave hits you, knocks you out. But if you've been in water that may be knee deep, and all of a sudden something pulls at your feet, and you feel the sand going away, and then you're sucked under. It happened to me one time. And I remembered this, when you get sucked in the rip currents, you don't swim in, you swim with it, because it gets going sideways. So you swim parallel with the shore, and eventually that current will stop and you'll come to the float. You'll come to the float and you'll be able to get back in. But if I panicked and tried to swim in, it'll suck me out and I'd have drowned. Now, Satan is going to nip at your feet. He's going to come in with that water current. He's going to just start pushing a little water, getting your feet wet. I can handle this. A little more. All of a sudden, before you know it, the sand's gone, the water's rushing, and you're flying down underneath the water, being pulled down by sin. Watch out for those undercurrents. Expect to go against the tide. There are many tides that sweep us away. Popularity is one. Everybody wants to be popular. Everybody wants to be liked. It's normal human nature. I want everybody to like me. When someone gets mad at me, I get angry, but not because they're mad at me. If I'm like, what? Why are you mad? I want to be my friend. Don't get mad at me. I had an incident, the guy, I turned in front, did my turn, and he got mad at me, and he followed me, chased me down, screaming at me, wanted to fight me, because I made a turn. Okay? I got angry first, like, why is this guy mad at me? I didn't do anything to him. Well, then I got really mad, and I really wanted to fight the guy, but then I pulled away. Common sense got a hold of me. Peer pressure. Yes, amen. Peer pressure. When your peers say, you don't have to go to church every day. You can just miss this one. Hey, we're going golfing Sunday. I can't. Why? I got to go to church. Well, you don't got to go. No, I want to go. I have to go. It's not like prison or you have to go to work. No, I want to go to church. You can miss one service. They're not going to miss you. But what is that one service that God's dealing with me about a sin in my life that can set me free and I missed it? Or I was there to be able to lead someone to the Lord that day. And for that point, they didn't get saved. Maybe they'll die when they leave because I wasn't there. Kids, you deal with peer pressure every day in school. Don't let kids push you to do something you know is not right. Adults, don't let men at work or women at work pressure you to doing something you know you should not do. All right? Praise of others. You're going to be right here. Why can't we do it? You got to be here. We can't do this without you. My head gets big. Yeah, I got to be there. No one can run the sound system unless I'm here. I got to be here. That ain't happening. But I thought that. I really thought that. They can't do this without me because it's all new. They don't know. Well, I've not made services before, and everything just went just fine. Yes, I don't have to be here. Brett's got it. Timmy can do it. Other guys in church, Steve can do it. Praise of others. Everyone wants to be praised. You want to go, you want to be the man of the hour or the woman of the hour. You do a good job at work. You want the manager to come by and say, that was awesome. It makes you feel good. But when you're doing things just to listen to man at the expense of doing something for God, God says, Mike, go here. But I go there. I'll do a good job, and he'll say how good a job I did. But I let that thing for God fall. It's not good because I want praise of others. And it's very easy to get into that. Just a little bit of compliment, a little bit of compliment, and then the next thing you're craving it and you're chasing it. It's almost like a drug. Yeah. False doctrines of all kinds. There's tons of people out there saying things in the name of God that are not biblical at all. They're straight out of the pits of hell. And if you listen, you'll know it. And if you know it, you should stop listening. Okay? If one drifts along with the majority, he will certainly be lost. Matthew 7, verses 13 through 14.
Away from the Lord, and don't let it happen to you. And I was was thinking about that. You know, you heard me tell a story before about how I was in the pool in down in Georgia, and I was there in the pool, and all of a sudden I started drifting, and all of a sudden the floor was, they don't let it just go. It like gradually, it's just like it's gone, and I don't forget that. I mean, all of a sudden I couldn't swim at all, especially back then. Man, I'm a whole lot better now. Not that someone no more, can't someone talk. Anyhow, so I remember drifting way over there, and all of a sudden, I looked at Jolene, and I didn't panic. But I looked at her, and I said, Jolene. And then she looked at me, and I said again, Jolene. And I could tell she was thinking about it, but then she came over there, and then she pulled me to safety. So what's your point, preacher? If you are drifting, don't panic. Just call on the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
I say, Lord, save me.
Amen.
Rescue me.
Amen.
Because if you start panicking, then all of a sudden all types of things start happening, and you may actually drown.
Yeah.
But God don't want you to drown.
Amen.
God wants you to deliver you. Amen. So are there signs of drifting in your life? Honestly, ask yourself. I mean, you can't say it for me. I can't say it for you. But you can ask it for yourself. Lord, am I drifting? Not only that, is my desire to study God's word and pray diminishing? Is my desire to study God's word and pray diminishing? Then the last question is this. Is my desire to be with God's people not where it has been in the past? All of these are good signs that says, you know what? I believe we're drifting. Only you can answer that question. If you're drifting tonight, guess what? All you got to do is call on Jesus.
Amen.
Father, thank you. Give me more blessings. And I pray God this. There's one among us, or many among us, including myself. No, I'm honest, Lord. Some of these areas I have to drift a little bit. So, Lord, help us, Lord, not to drift away from you, but call upon you that you know how to pull us to safety. Father, I pray, God, you give us a great desire for the Word of God to pray, Lord, to be around the brothers and sisters of Christ, do things, God, you have to do. And, Father, there's somebody here today say, Lord, I don't have that desire at all. Never have. Then, Lord, perhaps let you review their life and show them whether or not they really trusted your Son, Jesus, as their Savior. What a great night to be born again. Father, help somebody. Maybe folks you come pray tonight. Maybe it has nothing to do with this message. But then you come talk to you. I pray God they come. Help somebody. What's your son's name?